Hey, what's going on, y'all? I'd like to welcome you back to another episode of Savoring Sound. The music on the intro today is Let's Go Get 'Em by the Rebirth Brass Band. I'd like to thank them for letting us use their music. We've got an amazing show for you today. We get to chat with our very own Andrea White, an up-and-coming local musician who just happens to work at the Dakota. Her story includes, you know, late night jam sessions with some musicians and also winding up singing on a boat. But before we get to that story, I'd like to let you know about a couple of the shows we got coming up here pretty quick. We wouldn't want you to miss American Idol winner and Broadway star David Cook on March 9th. He rose to stardom after winning season 7, breaking several Billboard chart records. Cook knows his way around a good song, plus there's a VIP meet and greet and add-on available for the show. You can also join us for Emma Lyne's intimate duo show on March 23rd, celebrating her new album, The Two of Us. She'll be joined by guitarist Ryan Mondak, where you get to experience soulful renditions of originals, jazz classics, and nostalgic spins on modern hits. On the 27th and 28th, you should definitely come down and experience the unforgettable voice of R&B and soul icon Lela James at the Dakota for two nights. Her classic soul infused with contemporary twists and storytelling from her latest album, Thought You Knew, promises a mesmerizing experience. For tickets or more information on up-and-coming shows, visit DakotaCooks.com or give us a call at 612-332-5299. So now let's just jump right into this story here. I'm super excited to hear it. Andrea, so how'd this all come about?
Great question. 3 years ago was the first time Chris Bode had come to Dakota, and that's kind of where it all started. I like to play the piano on stage when everyone's gone, like after hours. And this particular night, I thought that it was just the staff in-house. Turns out Bode and his band were backstage just kind of having some drinks with a friend, and they were still there. So yeah. I'm playing, just kind of trilling on the piano, doing nothing of significance, in my mind at least. Mm-hmm. And he pops his head out from the curtain, and he's like, "What is this?" And I'm like, "Oh God, oh God. No, I'm just a server. Don't worry about it." And he goes, "Keep playing." And of course, I'm just buckling under the pressure. I'm like, "No, I really can't." And he looks at me with those like really intense blue eyes. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Keep playing." Oh my God, I just lost it. I'm like, "Well, I guess I'm doing this. I guess I'm just gonna show him this raw feeling of like where I'm at."
Yeah.
I'm just kind of messing around. So I keep going, and it's this amalgam of a few different songs that are playing in my head with similar chord progressions, and I'm just kind of feeling it out. And one by one, each of the musicians, they pick up their instrument and they start jamming with me. And I'm like, oh my God, these people are like echelons above me. They're world renowned. They're oh my God. I just lost my mind a little bit.
Absolutely.
I mean, my voice is shaking, and I'm like, I guess I gotta do this. I guess this is happening, okay. And so we play a little bit, and after a while you can see Chris just like stop and just watch me. That did not help the anxiety. that didn't help.
Can only imagine.
No. But it was strangely calming at the same time to know that he was just paying attention and seeing something, and I wanted to know what he saw. Mm-hmm. And so he starts to give me some direction, and it kind of turns into this really brief private lesson almost, and he's suggesting that I sing out a little more, and I be more firm and more intentional with what I'm doing, and just like essentially go harder. Like just like if you're gonna go for it, like do it. And he invites me back the next night. We ended up singing with the entire band, and I had come back. I didn't work that evening, but I came back after the show and was like, "Hey, it's me again, your girl. Yeah. Can I just see what this looks like?" And of course, even though I work at a jazz club, my personal repertoire for singing with musicians that know so much more than I do is shockingly small. Like I had maybe two songs, maybe three. And one of them was Fever, a la Peggy Lee.
Yeah, okay.
That song has just kind of followed me my whole life. Can't tell you why, but it keeps popping up and it keeps working. People keep receiving it well. So I think it's a good one. And then the next year he comes back and asks have I made any progress? And at that time in my life, I was still very much so, in my mind, a server that happened to have a small musical talent. That changed this week. Oh, that sure changed. Having, like, Grammy-winning musicians speaking to you as if you were one of them is just...
Sure, that can be kind of intense.
It was really cool. It was really cool. Oh, God.
So then how'd you end up on the boat?
Oh, that's another story. Okay. So then fast forward a year, and he mentions this... the Chris Botti jazz cruise with like Celebrity Cruise Line or Jazz Cruises or something like that. Yeah. And I was really curious. I had a lull in service and I was curious about how much these tickets were going to cost. So I go to the website and I find no information whatsoever. And I figured, well, if I can't satisfy this query now, I'll just put this little pin here and I'll satisfy it later. So I entered what I thought was a mailing list. It was just like, hey, we're fresh out of tickets for this one, but we'll let you know when Botti Cruise 2025 happens.
Okay.
So I enter that, thinking it's just, I'll get an email, congratulations. Like, and oddly enough, a couple months later, I got an email that was like, you want a cruise? Like, no, I didn't. First off, my response was, no, I didn't. You're gonna tell me that I won a cruise? Like, okay, you're gonna take all my money, you want my social security number? Like, it feels like a scam. So I call them, a little skeptical, but still like, hey, is this... in the off chance this is real, like, what are you...
Holding on to hope.
Yeah, holding on. I had a good feeling about it, because I didn't see anything online about it. There was no, like, Celebrity Cruises scam or whatever. It was just, like, I think this might be real. So I called him, and it was confirmed that, hey, this is a real thing, and you have a ticket. You have a free pass. And those rooms are, like, $3,000.
Wow.
So I wasn't about to pass that up. I'm like, yes, ma'am. All I have to do is pay, you know, the port taxes and fees. Okay, sure, I'll go on this free cruise. And then I look at the fine print, and it's like, you get a second person. I'm like, oh, my God. No, I don't. I get my own self on this boat for relatively pretty much free and somebody else.
You have a friend.
I have a friend, yeah. So I picked a wonderful friend who just sees the best in me and brings out the best in me. And I love her so much, you know? First off, I went on this cruise thinking that it was a networking trip. I'm like, I'm working. Like, I might have a glass of wine here and there, but like, I'm here to put myself where the people are.
Yeah.
I bring all of my performance gear. Every piece of rhinestone I own, every shiny thing, all of my sparkle boots, the biggest lashes I've got, you know, and I came ready to work, even though I wasn't being paid to be on this boat, you know?
Kind of you were.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, I found myself on this beautiful boat with these beautiful people. But the second day of the cruise, I decide that I want to wear all the sparkly things. Super stoked I did that, because later in that evening, I ended up in VIP seats for the David Foster and Catherine McPhee show that I just walked into, by the way. I just kept walking and I sat down and nobody questioned it. And the stage was maybe 15 feet away from me. I'm essentially on my own stage. I just made my own little stage, 5 feet above the stage and maybe 5 feet to the right. And the show starts, it's beautiful. God, Catherine McPhee's voice is just outstanding. And obviously David Foster, who's this big time producer, absolutely. You're familiar, yeah. So the crowd's eating it up. This theater seats 1,000 people and it is stacked. There are people standing in the back. And I have this bizarre feeling like, oh my God, I'm performance ready. I'm pretty much on my own little stage. Like, all I need is a microphone and a spotlight. How the hell? Like, what if? Like, what? No, I'm not kidding. Just like, what if? Like, what if? Like, how is there a world in which this happens? Right? Just putting it out there. And then 10 minutes later, he says, we're going to try something. I want to know if anybody wants to come up and do like a little 30-second karaoke. And I hesitated. And this one woman in the back throws both of her arms up and she's like, I'll do it, I'll take it. Like, and you can't pass up that enthusiasm. So she obviously is the first person to go up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, shit. Like, I just admit, like, that was it. That moment right there, like, I could have advocated for myself and been like, yes, me, done, 100%. And I missed it. And so for a quick second, I was a little butthurt. Like, ah, son of a bee. Like, you done messed that up. And I thought it was over. Catastrophize the whole thing in my mind, like, well, Andrea, that was your life. Now, and then they ask for a second person, and my dumb ass does the same thing, and I go, that hesitation, like that freeze moment mm-hmm. happens. Anyway, but I missed that opportunity again, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? You are ready to do this. You're prepared in some fundamental level. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing that. You wouldn't be here mm-hmm. thinking these things if you weren't able to do it. I got this feeling that's welling up, and I look at Lauren, and I'm like, tell me not to yell for a third. Like tell me not to make a scene. She goes, why would I do that? I'm like, all right, oh God. And I can just, you know when you're about to like, you had too many drinks and you can feel it, you're about to like, oh God. Like it was that, but a really good feeling. Mm. It was like, you're about to advocate real hard for yourself. You're gonna shoot your shot to David Foster and company. And as I was sitting there, you know, I was maybe 15 feet away from the keys player, maybe 20 feet away from the keys player. And I start hyping myself. I'm like, I'm getting vocal about it. I'm like, come on, one more. Like, and I'm pointing to myself, like, one, come on. One more. Like, ooh, wouldn't that be cool if, ooh, I promise it'd be worth it. Ooh, I promise it'll be worth it. And he starts smiling and he sees me and he's like, okay. All right, okay. He makes a gesture. I'm like, oh my God, I think he might not oppose the idea. Okay, all right, that's one, cool. I'm starting to get a little bit louder and my friend Lauren is pointing at me and we're like, come on, one more. And so at this point, I know David can hear me. I know he can hear me go, come on, one more. Let's go, one more, please. So I'm yelling one more, I'm making a scene, I'm making a little bit of a scene. And I've got people in the crowd that are advocating for me too, and they're like, all right. And then the keys player looks at David and he's like, all right, let's just do one more. And they break, and I'm like, oh my God. Like I was sure that wasn't gonna work. In my mind, it wasn't gonna work, but I was gonna try anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And it worked.
All right.
It worked. Somebody came up behind and gave me the mic. I'm trying to show composure. I'm trying to act as though I'm about to perform because I am with David Foster. And they're asking me like what song, and like I said, my repertoire was pretty limited. I'm like, do you know Louis Armstrong's version of St. James Infirmary, which is just one that, again, follows me
yeah.
and has my whole life. And he didn't know it. So then I suggest Fever by Peggy Lee, which is just, like I said, just one that just keeps following me.
Yeah.
And he knew it. And he starts. And I miss my cue because I'm too busy psyching myself up in my own mind. And he's like, Andrea, this is where you come in. I'm like, oh, thank you very much. let's try that one more time. Okay. And for the first little bit, like you can hear the apprehension in my voice, but a couple, like a deep breath. And the realization that I was doing this regardless of the hesitation was...
See, you're in the driver's seat at that point.
Well, I mean, at that point, I'm just surrendering to the moment because there is nothing I can do intentionally that's going to change the outcome. Universe, help me, take whatever wheel. Good God,
It's happening now.
Yeah, like, I hope I don't ruin this, you know? It's one of those things where time speeds up and slows down at the same, like, simultaneously.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my God, like the rush from that was just disgusting. I loved it.
Just jumping on. Mm-hmm. Just that randomly jumping on stage, but just that.
Impromptu.
Yeah, is getting in front of someone and not fully knowing what's going to happen.
No.
Especially with musicians mm-hmm. that you've never played with or never worked with. And what I found is when you're working with people you've played with, if something goes wrong or something changes, you can kind of see it in them. But I can only imagine walking in blind like that. So.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. So when I performed with Southside Aces for the first time after taking a complete performance hiatus for like 8 years, mm-hmm. you know, for a number of reasons, but there was no rehearsal. They've been a band for 20 years. They know each other so well. They just vibe off each other. And if a vocalist wanted to perform with them, they had to be able to jump in.
Yeah.
But there was no track for me to practice on. There was nothing. My ability to retain memories in full form it's difficult, right? Mm-hmm. So, especially when I perform, my memory just gone like that. It just I don't access it anymore,
mm-hmm.
and I've been forced to essentially improvise every live performance I've ever done, every hum I have to myself, it's all improvised. I've just been stimming by singing to myself my whole life. And so the Southside show, they gave me 16 measures to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know the structure, I know the song, I know these kind of things well enough. But the moment that they started their rendition of it, I realized there's nothing. I don't have anything to hold on to. There's no shoreline. There's nothing for me to base it off of other than my own memory and interpretation, which we just discussed is not a super strong. I mean, the memory is not like a super strong bit. So yeah. I'm like, it's all it is interpretation.
Shooting from the hip on that.
Shooting from the hip, like just like straight in flow. We're going to see what happens.
Racking the autopilot a bit.
Oh, so hard. Oh, the hardest of autopilots. So going into something like this with David Foster felt strangely familiar.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that and my only other creative outlet, apart from these three micro, you know, featured sessions with Southside over the last 3 or 4 months, is a place called Whitey's in Northeast. Every Tuesday night, Graydon Peterson sets up a
an open mic
jazz jam
I'm
session
familiar
type
with
thing.
That open mic down there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I started going at the behest of my my friend and colleague Johannes a couple months ago, and I am so glad that he suggested it.
It's not just jazz musicians, though, is it?
I mean, there's definitely a jazz leaning to it on Tuesday nights.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot. I saw Alex Rossi there on Wednesdays a while back, but like I just think Tuesday nights it's a little more geared towards jazz. Like that.
How does it work down there? Do you just go and sign up, or
there's not even really a sign up. You just go talk to Graydon. You tell him what you play or what you sing, if there's a song you might know. And there is a house band, but they just kind of switch out, you know, depending on what kind of musicians are there. And Graydon does a really great job at mixing the team so that it's like the levels are spread out so that everybody gets a chance to kind of flex and to explore and see what they've got. So these micro shows with Dakota, they're wonderful, and they're bigger. That's my first stage back. Is Dakota Jazz Club. Stop. I think that's a really cool part of the story.
It's not bad for your resume there.
No, not even a little bit.
Because you've been there for a while, right?
8 years. I've worked there as a server for 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I've seen thousands of musicians on that stage.
What shows kind of stand out for you?
Oh, okay.
Anything that just pops. I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the answer is not going to surprise you, honestly. The first time I saw Chris Botti, I was blown away.
Okay.
Like, the entire show was so, beautifully sculpted. You could tell a lot of thought and a lot of effort and care went into that show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a great improvisational musician as well.
Yeah.
Daka Braka is also one of the most, primal driving entertaining shows I've seen in person. I think they're billed as a Ukrainian circus folk punk band, which I don't know if wherever that those Venn diagrams intersect, that's Daka Braka.
They don't have to intersect in my mind.
I don't even know.
You know.
Yeah, true. They're all. It's yes and yes, yes and. Yeah.
You don't have to rock them all.
No,
some good insight into it.
There's beauty in every single one of those shows.
Absolutely.
There's something that I don't know if I've just been passively absorbing it, but I do try to pay attention whenever they're doing their sound check. I want to hear how they speak to each other and how they, you know, how they audiate.
Well, the Dakota is one of those places that
can't pass her up.
She,
good God,
puts on a rock.
I love her so much. Oh my God.
For me, the Dakota is one of those places when people are like, I've never been there. I'm like, okay, here's what you have to do. You have to look at the calendar, find someone that you want to see. Don't worry about it if it seems weird. You've never been to the Dakota.
Just go see
them. Go see them there, and you'll never want to see them anywhere else ever again.
It's such an intimate venue. It's such a beautiful space.
Maybe that's pushing it. Never want to see them anywhere else again, but you understand. It's just such an intimate, cozy space.
Yeah, it's such a special place. The longer I'm with Dakota, the more I love it.
Yeah.
I have fallen in love with that place for so many reasons over the years, and they just keep coming. What a beautiful place.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Food, right? You've been there for 8 years.
Yes, I have.
What pops?
Oh,
what pops from your memory?
Ooh.
Or is there a dish that you'd want to see brought back, or is there something that...
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You've had maybe one time, you're like, I just kind of crave that.
We had this scallops dish pre-pandemic that I actively daydream about.
Okay.
Yeah. Could I pitch it to you now? Absolutely not. But if you were at Dakota about 4-ish years ago, you would know this dish, and you would know that it is absolutely well worth bringing back. As far as what's on the menu now, we've got classics. Like, we make this Lake Vermilion crawfish gumbo that I think just absolutely slaps, for lack of a better phrase. I mean, shrimp and grits, classic. These things have been on our menu for years for a reason. You know, they're just good classics. I do think that the duck breast is one of the best things that come out of this kitchen currently.
I've had that.
Yeah, it made me like duck in the first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Dakota's been integral in like expanding my horizons in more ways than one.
So I think the Dakota actually turned me on to duck, but years ago as well.
We've got Asher Larson, that's our head chef right now, and he's just, I absolutely adore working for him. Like, he's wonderful and really brings some inspiring dishes to fruition, so.
Like, what's your next step?
I'm getting a band together. I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to do this, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know how many more people I need to hear it from. I'm just at that point where enough people are holding space for me that it would be rude not to continue.
Yeah.
Like,
they're holding the canvas for you.
Yeah.
The fact is,
they're like,
they're just
bitch.
Waiting to paint.
Yeah. They're like, do it.
Get out there.
Like, what are you waiting for? You have everything you need. And I've spent the last 8 years just culminating these really beautiful relationships with people. Oh, God. The more I learn about that place, the more excited I am that I work there. Like, what a great place to spend your 20s.
Yeah.
There's a rather big gust of wind in my sails, and I'm not about to let that momentum die. Like, I just want to do this more. Something incredible happened on this boat, and it's this internal identity shift that I have been searching for, not actively, but just like
there's a piece that was missing that you just couldn't put your finger on,
or more like there was some limiting beliefs that kept me from rising to my potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get in your own way.
Yeah.
I went from being internally, in my mind, I was a server. Like, that was like the primary identity node. You know? It was like, I'm a server at Dakota Jazz Club, really great story. That happened to have this little talent, right? But after, I mean, during this cruise and sitting amongst these musicians and getting to know them even more so than I already did, because they'd all been through Dakota, by the way. Like, Lisa Fisher, Keb Mo, who is actually strangely related to my stepmother. And you know what I mean? Stars. Yeah. Like, how? This world is so small.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but I went from a server who played music to, like, no, I'm a musician. Like, this is what I was meant to do. I feel it. I fully embody this now. And I don't feel like I'm limiting myself with the narrative that I was a server.
Yeah.
You know, but now I'm a musician, and it feels that happens to serve, right? I'm a musician that happens to serve now.
Yeah.
And the feeling of empowerment that comes from that. Whew.
This is all very fresh for you.
This is extremely fresh. I got off the boat like 4 days ago.
Yeah.
My first 6 minutes on stage was only October 8th of 2023.
On my birthday.
On your birthday! Stars aligning, yeah. And then, you know, I did a little holiday, just a quick holiday track. I think it was under 2 minutes, honestly, in December for their holiday show. And then 3 weeks before the Bodhi cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, of course, that one was like the third time's the charm. Like, girl, you're doing it for third time's the pattern. You're doing it.
Yeah.
So I really played the part. I don't know. I went from a server that plays music
to
being a
musician
who happens to serve. And I just feel incredibly empowered and free to explore this. And now that there are avenues that I can, you know, explore through, and I've got people that are helping me explore these things, I see a really, really fun future.
You got some solid people in your corner.
Oh, do I? Yeah. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
It's kind of freeing when you get to that point where it's like, okay, like this is something that I've been sitting on for years, like my whole lifetime.
And incubating. Just.
It's been ready to explode, but I haven't had the moment. What I've seen here, what I'm hearing is that you feel like you've had it right there, but the right opportunity, the right moment hasn't been there for you to actually reach out and grab onto.
Yeah.
Am I assessing this correctly?
Yeah, timing is absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a large chunk of that I owe to about 18 months ago. I had this huge surgery. I got gutted like a Thanksgiving turkey because it was too big. And they were like, you just escaped a very painful death. So congratulations.
Yeah.
And then feeling that natural intelligence of the human body repair itself while my tiny little consciousness just went along for the ride and tried to hydrate enough.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fundamental shift that happens to somebody when your life is just put at risk.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to put that. So
I know the feeling.
It's incredibly vulnerable and life affirming is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And timing, right? It's all about timing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've been incubating this beautiful little action plan,
mm-hmm,
inadvertently,
yeah,
one way or another.
Subconsciously manifesting it.
Yes.
You know, putting that energy out there.
Yeah.
I'm really strong in my feelings about energy. It is.
I am a full believer of, yeah, of our abilities now.
You pick up on it, you read people, and sometimes for me, a lot of the time it's subconscious with reading people,
mm-hmm,
and getting to understand people in that way. And I've been getting more and more in tune with that over the years.
It's an
just
art.
Kind of how to walk with people, you know, whether their pace is different than mine, but how do we walk together in that?
I like that.
You know,
I like that a lot.
Make it exist together and do that, you know.
Yeah. A lot of magic happens when you learn how to exist together.
Yeah. That's how more people should think like that.
Oh, I knew I liked you.
Any pluggables?
Any what?
Pluggables.
What the hell's a pluggable?
Like social.
Oh. Yeah, actually, I don't do a whole lot on social media. Obviously, that's changing very quickly. While I was on the boat, I made an Instagram. AndreaWhite.music was, mm-hmm, available, by the way, which it seems like it wouldn't be. There's tons of us in this country, right? So AndreaWhite.music on Insta.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now I think I have like two posts and a gentleman's 57 followers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So get in while it's still hot, getting on the ground floor.
Yeah.
Help me out here.
Being the first 100 right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've got a really cool story, and I'm just really excited to write more of it.
Yeah, well, I really, really appreciate you sitting down with me today and just getting to know, like, I've heard that your trajectory is set very high at this moment, and I am really excited to see how this pans out for you, because I don't know, you've got such good energy, and it's just a blessing to be able to sit here and get to know you a little bit, you know.
I forget that the trajectory is a thing, and then I remember multiple times in a day. I'm like, oh my god, that's the story. This is my life. I get to live this. What an awesome thing, and I cannot wait. I cannot freaking wait to see what happens.
Well,
so
thank you so much. This has been Andrea White. I really appreciate having you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cheers.
This has been another episode of Savoring Sound. Thanks for joining me. For more ticket information, visit thedakotacooks.com or give the box office a call at 612-332-5299. Everybody be well.